Welcome to Diabetes Focus, saving lives through diabetes information, education, and support.
Bekisa Mqube, low sugar, high drama, and a drinkless mission. This episode is brought to you by Replace Diabetic, in the interest of education, awareness, and support. For those keeping an eye on blood sugar levels, Replace Diabetic is your tasty, low GI meal replacement, endorsed by Diabetes South Africa and the GI Foundation. Visit replace.co.za for more information. Bekisisa Mqube, who lives with type 2 diabetes, recalls the day he lost his mind and caused an entire section of an airport in Durban to be evacuated by specialist police units. Bekisisa, 51, lives in Pretoria East, Gauteng, with his wife. They have two adult children. 10 years ago, on a cool Durban winter afternoon, the sun cast long shadows along the Golden Mile as Durbanites enjoyed the sun, surf, and vibes. I waved goodbye to my friends and drove to King Shaka International Airport for my flight to Pretoria. I had eaten the proper meal of pap and chicken and downed 3 beers. I did not want to be drunk on the flight and become a nuisance, yet nothing prepared me for the next 24 hours. I pulled into the return bay. As I queued at the rental desk, my grip on reality slipped. I lost my mind. Lights, camera, action. This account is not entirely my own. Much of it was relayed later by the rental manager, friends, and the police. One thought consumed me. I had left my bag behind. I rushed to the car and drove back towards my friends at high speed. Yet my bag was on the floor, my phone resting on top. I had walked away and was now frantically searching for it. When I reached my friends, neither my phone nor my bag were there. I phoned my wife on the bars line. She later said my speech was slurred. My friends knew it was not alcohol. I walked purposefully but spoke incoherently, and soon more joined the search for my lost phone and bag. Meanwhile, my unattended bag with an incessantly ringing cell phone drew the attention of the car hire staff. They deemed it suspicious and called the police, treating it as a possible bomb. Chaos followed at King Shaka International Airport. The South African Police Service tactical units, the bomb squad, and K9 teams swept in. My bag tested positive for illicit drugs. The entire section of the car hire area was evacuated. Sirens blared, dogs barked, and heavily armed officers filled the terminal. When the pandemonium subsided, the police realized the sniffer dog had reacted to my type 2 diabetes medication and other prescribed tablets. No bomb. Mission aborted. In Pretoria, my general practitioner singled out the metformin as the probable culprit, likely to cause low blood glucose or hypoglycemia, leading to confusion. I was taken off it immediately. Today I know I'm allergic to metformin. A silent killer knocks on my door. Let's track back to the beginning. My diagnosis came early and almost by chance. 12 years ago, I attended a government event offering mobile health screenings. A routine finger prick unsettled the nurses, and they urged me to go for a glucose tolerance test. A week later, at a hospital in Durban, the verdict arrived. Type 2 diabetes. My heart sank. I had no symptoms, and therein lies the danger. Diabetes is a silent condition, often progressing unnoticed until complications emerge. My drugs of choice. Fast forward to today. I take a combination of medications, including empagliflozin 25 mg, gliclazide 60 mg, sitagliptin 100 mg, and atorvastatin calcium. They have been a lifeline. Empagliflozin helps lower blood glucose by allowing the kidneys to pass excess sugar into urine and has recognized heart and kidney benefits in suitable patients. A known effect is weight loss. I lost 10 kilograms in my first year. Gliclazide helps the pancreas release more insulin. It reduces blood glucose but may cause hypoglycemia if meals are delayed or skipped. Sitagliptin supports the body's incretin system, helping to release insulin when glucose is high and reducing glucagon. It has a low risk of hypoglycemia and is generally weight neutral. Atorvastatin calcium manages cholesterol by reducing bad cholesterol, LDL, and lowering cardiovascular risk, which matters greatly with diabetes. I check my blood glucose, albeit irregularly, at home before breakfast. My HbA1c is done quarterly. The result determines my battle plan. COVID-19 and sugar on steroids. This combination of medicine served me well for many years. Everything changed when COVID-19 struck me twice, pushing my blood glucose, measured by HbA1c, out of the recommended range of 4-7%. Earlier this year, pneumonia struck, pushing my blood glucose even higher, allegedly due to steroid treatment. The treating physician prescribed insulin glargine to bring it under control, and I have been on it since mid-January. Even so, my HbA1c remains at 8, the same level as 3 months ago. My fasting glucose has improved, dropping from 12.2 to 9.3, although ideally it should be between 3.9 and 6. Due to no change in blood glucose control, I have been told to increase my insulin to 20 units. Drink less mission, alcohol, and type 2 diabetes. The real struggle is alcohol intake while living with the silent killer. I have been on a drinkless mission for 5 years. Before that, I drank daily without counting units. Then I imposed 3 alcohol-free days, which had increased to 4. Now I only drink on weekends, having 9 glasses of beer per day. Yes, I'm aware that is above the daily limit. I struggle to keep the beer count if I'm out with friends, or when a low mood sets in, as I also battle major depression, which predates the type 2 diabetes. Still, I have not driven a motor vehicle after even one drink. It has been 5 years now. My advice to people living with this condition is simple. Avoid alcohol if you can. My recent 90-day liver function tests, albeit outside the acceptable range, show improvement. Gamma-GT, an enzyme found primarily in the liver whose levels in the blood can indicate liver damage or bile duct issues, has fallen from 171 to 121. But I need to bring the reading below 60. All other indicators are within range, which was not the case 90 days earlier. GLP-1 therapy. Last year, I was desperate to bring my blood glucose back into range, so I asked my doctor to prescribe GLP-1 therapy. I was prescribed semaglutide, a once-weekly injectable. It mimics a natural hormone, GLP-1, that helps the pancreas release insulin when blood glucose is high, reduces glucose released by the liver, and slows the rate at which food leaves the stomach. Many people also find it curbs appetite and helps patients to lose weight. However, I lost my well-paying job and joined the freelance crew before I could reap the benefits. At present, my medical aid doesn't cover it. Thus, I missed an opportunity to benefit from this scientific breakthrough. Diet for type 2 diabetes. The only battle I am winning is on diet. The dietitian helped me embed her advice into my daily meals. For breakfast, I have avocado, eggs, and special seeded whole wheat brown bread. For lunch, it's usually a sandwich with cheese or avocado. Snacks are simple. Fruit, such as apples or nachos, or roasted and salted nuts. Dinner is vegetables, brown rice, and protein, often chicken. I drink 4 liters of water daily, which has served me well. My management stays the same year-round. Exercise, more or less. I must rethink a realistic activity plan. The gym membership has not worked for me. I'm now trying walks around the neighborhood in the afternoons. As a rule, I don't do sugary drinks, refined carbs, fried foods, or processed meats, which can dangerously spike blood glucose, worsen my condition, and increase the risk of complications.